Welcome to episode 349 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. One aspect of Jesus' regard for the full intrinsic value of women is seen in how he spoke to the women he addressed. He spoke in a thoughtful, caring manner. Each synoptic gospel writer records Jesus addressing the woman with the bleeding disorder tenderly as daughter, and referring to the bent woman as a daughter of Abraham. Jesus called the Jewish women daughters of Abraham, thereby according them a spiritual status equal to that of men. In general, how did Jesus speak to women in the Bible? And what does that reveal that might be instructive to us today? Let's examine several passages that capture Jesus directly addressing a woman. In John 8, Jesus goes to the temple and begins teaching the people. While he is there, scribes and Pharisees bring to him a woman whom they claim has been caught in the act of adultery, and they ask him what they should do about that. Their intention, according to verse 6, is to test him, that they might have some charge brought against him. Jesus' response is well known. He bends down and writes with his finger on the ground. Some scholars speculate that he was writing about the sins of the accusers. After writing for some time, he stands up and says, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And then he bends down again and continues writing. One by one, those who had wished to trap Jesus and cause the woman harm walk away. The Bible says from the oldest to the youngest. Jesus does not stand again until the crowd has dispersed. Then he turns to the woman and says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" This is verse 10. Don't you imagine it was with equal parts relief and amazement that she said, "No one, sir"? Have you ever wondered how God reacts when you fall into sin? Then listen to these gentle words of Jesus and let them echo in your heart. John 8, verse 11. "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." We don't know whether any other women were present in the temple courts to witness this exchange. But even if not, surely there were women who witnessed the woman being dragged through the streets by the Pharisees. How grateful and appreciative they must have felt toward this man who actually protected her and showed compassion, as no other men, including apparently the man with whom she had been caught, were doing. Now let's turn to some other interactions between Jesus and women in each of the four Gospels. Jesus is en route to the home of an official from a local synagogue to respond to a request to heal his daughter who is deathly ill. As he's making his way, the crowd is pressing in on him. Among them is a woman who has suffered from a blood discharge for 12 years. She has sought help from various physicians to no avail. However, she reasons that if she can just touch the hem of the master's garment, she will be made well. So she touches the garment. Matthew 9, verse 22. Jesus turned and saw her. "Have courage, daughter," he said. "Your faith has saved you." And the woman was made well from that moment. Jesus leaves Jerusalem and he comes to the district of Tyre and Sidon. While he is there, a Canaanite woman cries out to him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." After the disciples try to get rid of her, Jesus says in Matthew 15, verse 24, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," verses 25 to 28. "But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' She said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.'" In rabbinic writings, women are seldom presented positively and rarely illustrate faith or theological acumen. But Jesus identifies both the woman with the discharge of blood and the Canaanite woman as faithful. Jesus engages with this Canaanite woman as he would with an intellectual peer. After Jesus heals a woman with the issue of blood, someone comes to the synagogue ruler and tells him that his daughter has died. That does not dissuade Jesus. He continues to the house. He chases away the mourners who have already begun to wail loudly and goes into the little girl's room with Peter, James, and John and the girl's parents. Mark 5, verse 41. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. Jesus is tender and attentive. When the girl gets up and begins to walk around, Jesus instructs those in the room to give her something to eat. In Luke 7, Jesus sees a man who has died being carried out the gate of a town called Nain. He's the only son of a woman who is a widow. In ancient times, a childless widow endured double adversity, with no husband to provide for her and protect her, and no son to carry on the family name and care for her in her old age. She might have been considered a disgrace to her family and left in a precarious position. Luke 7 verse 13 tells us that when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." He goes on to raise this man, her son, from the dead. Jesus is asked to eat at the home of Simon, one of the Pharisees. Luke 7 verses 37 to 38. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Simon is horrified that Jesus would permit this sinful woman to anoint him. Jesus responds in Luke 7 verses 44 to 48. Then turning toward the woman, he says to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Compassion, understanding, affirmation, and the forgiveness of sins. In Luke 10, Jesus is visiting the home of his good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Martha is busy preparing a meal. Mary is listening to Jesus, listening to him teach. Martha comes to Jesus to complain that Martha is not helping her. Jesus responds to Martha's concern in verse 42. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. In Luke 13, Jesus is teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. He encounters a woman who is bent over due to what is called a disabling spirit. She has suffered this way for 18 years. Verse 12. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." Other versions say, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." Jesus speaks a word of both compassion and authority. At the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, a wedding took place in Cana. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a guest there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited. At some point, the stewards of the party ran out of wine. Mary reports this to her son. John 2 verse 4. "Woman, why does this concern us?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." Calling his mother woman might seem disrespectful. However, scholars agree that this was not a rough and discourteous way of addressing a mature woman. It was actually a title of respect. We have no way of speaking in English which exactly renders it. Some translations use the term lady. Jesus spoke to his mother with a term of respect, but he did not call her mother. Jesus wanted to emphasize that now at the beginning of his public ministry, he now had a different relationship with Mary. Jesus uses this term to address other women throughout the time of his ministry. And he uses this term again with his mother when he's hanging on the cross and he asks his disciple John to take care of his mother. There we have it. Several different instances in which Jesus speaks directly to women in the Bible. From what we have read, it is clear that Jesus sought to elevate and not denigrate, that he affirmed and valued women whom he encountered. Father, thank you for the example we have from Christ about how we ought to show love, compassion, and respect, both to men and women. Help us to follow suit in our relationships. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.